This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that each year over 80,000 Americans experience pancreatitis and another 25,000 out of that 80 are actually diagnosed with pancreatic cancer? And while it's not really a particularly high number overall, the pancreas issues are really increasing significantly. Now, starting out with a statistic like that, I also want to say that if you experience pancreatitis or somebody does, it does not mean that the inevitable is pancreatic cancer. But what it is doing is it's alerting you that there's an inflammation problem that's occurring in your body that is causing the pancreas to not function properly. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking about the pancreas, but I'm going to be talking about it from a different perspective. I'll certainly, as always, as a medical intuitive, I'm going to be sharing the information about the pancreas itself and what clinically pancreatitis is. But you know what I've really found as a medical intuitive is pancreatitis and even pancreatic cancer really tends to increase in stressful times where we're either so afraid of our survival, around our survival, or being left alone, that it creates a different type of stress chemistry in the physical body tied to that fight or flight, but it keeps on going and going and going and going. And I've also found that suppressed emotions are the way that we cope with these different stressors in our life. Suppressing our emotions actually does energetically and physically ultimately affect the pancreas altogether. So what I'm finding in these stressful times is we have more situations, I'm finding this in my reading, more situations where people are just kind of sweeping those emotions under the rug. So on top of the clinical aspect of pancreatitis, I'm going to be sharing how as a medical intuitive, I see it, how it maps out emotionally, how it really even maps out in the chakras itself, and giving you a completely different perspective of pancreatitis. Again, it's not large numbers, but it is something that I am finding on the increase is dealing with pancreatic issues. And so that's why I wanted to address this show today. I also wanted to address it because it was actually a suggestion from a listener. So what she did is she wrote me and said that her husband had been recently diagnosed with pancreatitis and they wanted to know more information about it and then any suggestions that they could do to help heal it. She wrote that she's an energy worker and that she'd like to be able to help and guide her husband through the healing process. She also wanted to know, and he wanted to know, what are the emotional roots behind pancreatitis? So there's today's show. Thanks for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And it's going to be a very insightful show because even if you don't experience pancreatic issues, what you may do is you might start finding some of the emotions and the patterns of behavior that I'm going to be talking about that you are now expressing and experiencing and can just take that information from today's show and say, you know what? I don't want to have pancreatitis. I don't want to have issues with my pancreas. So what can I do with this information to be able to use it in a way that I can be use it as a preventative tool? That's one of the things I always try to do as a medical intuitive. My ultimate goal in anything that I do as a medical intuitive by offering the bigger picture, whether I'm doing my Your Health webinars, whether I'm talking about different topics on my show, is to give people a holistic perspective of a particular disorder or syndrome or disease or illness, which encompasses all of those, is to give them a bigger picture so they can change behavior, deal with emotions in a positive, effective, constructive way instead of allowing those mental patterns and those emotional reactions to be able to just kind of stay inside and fester and to build up upon itself. And pancreatitis is a perfect example of us suppressing emotions and allowing those emotions to just stay buried below the surface of our skin and to basically fester and build upon themselves, kind of like a virus would or a bacteria would. And then ultimately, it not only affects the energy field itself, but it affects the physical body ultimately. So that's what today's show is on. It's on pancreatitis. I'm going to be sharing, as you already have started hearing, lots of different ways to be able to look at it. And what I'm going to do is also be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me, I'd love to share my medical intuitive skills with you. Maybe it's a question about your health or it's a question about today's topic. So if you do have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers, of course, just dial your international calling code 877-230-3062. So the listener from New Jersey that sent me this request and suggestion, this show suggestion, I hope you find it of value. If any of you have a show suggestion for me that you would like me to research and discuss and offer this holistic perspective, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Put the cursor over the tab that says radio. Click on the menu that says radio show schedule, and you'll see a little suggestion box there. Just click on it, send me the suggestion. And if it is a show that I've already done, I'll follow up with you and let you know that there's a show in the archive. And if not, I'm going to put it on the list, and it really helps me understand where your interests are as listeners and also what are you dealing with as listeners. So it's very, very, very helpful. So also I wanted to let you know that I've just posted my April 2013 reading schedule on my website, www.ritberger.com. These readings do tend to go very quickly. If you've been considering having a full hour with me, actually they run a little over depending on the topics that we have. I don't like to leave anybody hanging on just because an hour is done. But if you go to my website, www.ritberger.com, again, put the cursor over the reading, click on personal reading on the download menu. You can book it right online. All the readings are booked online. They're all done over the telephone. They're all recorded. They are set to last an hour, and we can cover a variety of topics. And sometimes people will send me the topics they want to discuss, and they'll put at the bottom of it, I know this seems really scattered, Carol, but these are important. And my job is to take all of those different aspects of your areas of concern or not enough information or the questions you have and then weave them together in a holistic way so you can get a big picture of what's going on, connect the dots, and then become clear on the changes that you're looking for to make in your life to be able to put your life back on course, meaning doing things for your reasons and not others. So again, all readings are online. They're on a first come, first serve basis. I just actually posted them a couple days ago. I think I've only got a few left out of the entire month. So if you've been thinking about it, check it out, www.ritberger.com. And if you decide to book a reading, just click on book now and it'll take you through the process. I'd love to be able to spend time with you. Well, like I said, I'm going to be talking about pancreatitis, and that is true. But I want to kind of divert a little bit, but it really isn't a diversion. And let me tell you what that means. At 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time this morning, we actually had an energy tweak or an attunement, not really a shift that took place, but it was at 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time where there was an attunement that took place energetically that whenever these things occur individually, it takes our energy field a short period of time, and that's not 5 or 10 minutes. It can be up to 12 hours, sometimes 24 hours, for our energy field to recalibrate itself and restabilize itself. In this fine-tuning of the energy field itself, specifically the energy attunement was done in the second chakra. The second chakra is the chakra of human emotions. It's the chakra that where we hold that fear of abandonment. It's where we hold the emotional charges around our relationships and interactions with others. It's where we hold those perceptions of ourselves in our relationships, and do we experience compromise? We all compromise in relationships, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the compromise that actually causes us to not behave like ourselves or not be ourselves, and that is actually driven by the fear of abandonment. 2013 is really the year and the energy around relationships. And it isn't so much around the relationships with others as it is the importance of the relationship with ourself. That second chakra in the attunement that took place is caused like a quiver in that second chakra, and as a result in our field. So you may find that you're restless. You may find that you are feel like, boy, something bad's going to happen, or you might find yourself anxious, or you might find yourself kind of in that anxiety syndrome of worrying, uncertainty about the unknown. And that's part of this attunement, is so we will learn to get in touch with ourselves and trust ourselves. So when this took place at 4 o'clock and I woke up, I actually experienced this sense of, oh my gosh, it feels like something big's going to happen. My brain goes in, because of the problem solving part of it, and says, oh my gosh, I hope that it's not something bad that happens that I'm going to get to deal with it. Now, I am a positive person, an optimistic person, but my brain is a problem solver. My brain is picking up energetically what is going on, and it is actually trying to identify what is going on. Why is the field changed? Why does Carol feel the way that she does? Why is there that uncertainty? Is she worrying? Is she concerned? Has she kind of jumped overboard to the point where she's just so anxious she can't deal with things? So that brain is constantly reading that energy field. It's constantly reading the emotions that are associated with that energy field. And so what this tweaking is doing is it's really affecting that second chakra. By the way, the pancreas is in that second chakra. And what it's doing is this tweak is asking us, are you living the sweetness of your life? Now, the brain goes in and goes, huh? What does that mean? The sweetness of life means, are you doing the things, or are you going to do the things today that give you that sense of personal satisfaction? Are you going to take 5 minutes for yourself and do what's important to you? Are you going to go and sit in the sun if you have it? Are you going to connect with your heart? How do you feel? What are you looking forward to? What are you excited about? And not that everyday, OMG, what's going to happen type energy that is so much of the dynamics of our conditioning of the second chakra. So while it wasn't planned in this show on pancreatitis, the area in the physical body that is being impacted is the pancreas. So what does this mean? It may mean that today you're going to experience cravings that possibly you haven't had before. Maybe those cravings are going to be such that you're going to want to get a piece of candy, or you're going to want to have a soda. These are things that, you know, in that humanness in our body, we know, well, it's not really good for us, but I'm going to do it anyway. But we're going to have cravings coming forward. The energetics of that is, are you spending enough time on a daily basis to give yourself those warm fuzzies and the sweetness of life that you're looking for, that gives us the strength, the courage, the inspiration, the tenacity, the determination, the perseverance to commit to living every day fully, holistically, completely in loving of ourselves, in love with ourselves, and then in love with others. The energy of 2013 is about, I want to love me while I'm loving you. And that's what this energy tweak attunement was, is it saying, okay, it doesn't mean, oh no, we're way off in left field. What it's saying is, what can you do today to connect with your heart, to the sweetness, the things you love doing, to get those warm fuzzies, that psychological, emotional satisfaction that you're looking for, that can keep that sweetness of life alive and thriving and well, all is well, to the point where you can deal with a lot of the other issues that are surfacing. Another thing with the energy of 2013 is that this is the year, as I said, with relationships, first and foremost with ourselves. It's about trusting ourselves, but it's also relationships with others. And an interesting aspect of all of this energy of 2013, and even this little tweak that took place this morning, in Pacific Standard Time, so it would have been 7 o'clock in the East Coast. What this is doing is it's saying, be sure that your foundation with yourself is solid and the foundation with others is solid. What can you do to bring the sweetness of life into your relationships? Because the energy of 2013 is, if the foundation is not solid in relationships with ourselves or with others, then that relationship is going to crumble. The brain goes in and goes, OMG, no, we don't want this to happen. But the reality of it is, sometimes the relationships are designed to crumble so we can actually start the rebuilding process. So the energy of 2013 is relationships, and it is about rebuilding the relationships, and it begins first and foremost with ourselves. So I wanted to start out, I mean, I would love to say that I always plan these things being an intuitive, but you know, I just show up like everybody else. And when this energy shift occurred and I felt kind of scattered all over everywhere, like I had stuck my finger in a 220 light socket, it's like, whoa, regroup, what's going on? Looked at my field and said, oh my gosh, what we have is we have tension between the second chakra, our relationships and emotions with others, the fourth chakra, our relationship with ourself, and we're being given a wonderful opportunity to reconnect with the fourth chakra, our love of self, because when we love ourselves while loving others, then we get to experience true love. So just a little bit of diversion, but of course, always fitting in. And you know, I still get an awe of that, which by the way is part of the sweetness of life. So let's talk about the pancreas. The pancreas is actually a leaf-shaped endocrine gland. It's about 5 inches long, and it's nestled between the stomach and the small intestine. It's kind of tucked up under part of it, underneath that lower rib, and then a part of the leaf actually sticks out like a tail that lies over that small intestine area. Its primary function is to secrete insulin. That's a key hormone for sugar metabolism, and it's very, very important because the insulin is what binds to glucose that makes it acceptable for the cells to be able to absorb it, and then the glucose helps in the metabolizing of the glucose itself. And then also, besides the insulin dynamics that we're familiar with type 2 diabetes or even type 1 diabetes, where the pancreas is unable to produce either the amount of insulin or insulin altogether that is very needed in order for us to be able to thrive and survive. So besides that insulin process, what it is it's a storage for enzymes that help us digest fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. And when it malfunctions, what occurs is it leads to acute pancreatitis. And that means that we have a sudden pancreatic attack that comes on. And that attack comes on, it lets us know that we have inflammation in the pancreas. There's some things that I'm going to be sharing that we can do to deal with the acute pancreatitis. But if we don't deal with it at that point in time, then it can become chronic pancreatitis. And that chronic pancreatitis is basically saying that the pancreas itself is in a state of inflammation. And as a result, it's burning itself out. That's the metaphor as a medical intuitive that I find. What that ultimately means is it's not going to produce enough insulin in order for the body to have that to bind to the glucose so the cells can get the energy they need in order for the physical body to stay healthy. So that chronic pancreatitis is really a metaphor for the fact that we need to not be eating at ourselves. We need to find out what is causing this internal irritation within us, and what can we deal with it. Now, one of the things that we have found is that, and why I started the show by saying, is that because you have an episode of pancreatitis does not mean that you will get pancreatic cancer. One of the things is that chronic pancreatitis actually increases the susceptibility to pancreatic cancer. And part of the reason for that is when the pancreas is not functioning as designed, meaning with insulin and also the digestive enzymes for carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, then the body is not able to stay healthy. And what that means is the cells are not able to stay healthy. So the cancer cells, the abnormal cells, then are able to glean the glucose the way that it needs with that little bit of insulin, and the cancer cells become stronger. They thrive, they multiply, and what they do is ultimately it could end up in pancreatic cancer. So if you do suffer from chronic pancreatitis, I'm going to be sharing some of the things that can be done, but there are also medications that can be done. I know a lot of people don't like to do that, but if we have a chronic situation, it is better to really jump on it, do everything that is possible to eliminate the problem. It can be eliminated before it moves into something more serious. As I mentioned, pancreatitis is actually an inflammation of the entire pancreas, not just a little tiny, tiny part of it. Now, that acute pancreatitis can be that sudden onset of inflammation that may appear to be only in one small part, but really when we look at pancreatitis, whether it's acute or chronic, the entire pancreas is inflamed. This can be caused by an obstruction of the pancreatic duct from gallstones and also scarring that has occurred over the time of not being able to assimilate the food, or it could be injury that can cause it. Also, gallbladder infections make the pancreas very highly vulnerable to pancreatic acute pancreatitis. Alcoholism, the use of alcohol, and I'm not talking about one drink a day for the male or a glass of wine for male or female. I'm talking about the excessive use of alcoholism where we not only impact the stomach and the liver, but we impact the pancreas as well. And part of that alcoholism has to do with the sugar. The higher the glucose, the more the pancreas has to work to produce the insulin, and the higher the susceptibility to burning itself out, which, of course, is the inflammation. Also, viral infections, abdominal injuries, obesity, poor digestion, poor nutrition. High levels of triglyceride has also been found to be a cause, and drugs that are used for blood pressure, sulfa drugs, and seizure drugs can also increase the susceptibility to pancreatitis. The symptoms of pancreatitis start out with nausea. Now, that isn't just a little bit of a gnawing in the stomach area itself. It is an acute state. That nausea is that it will come on suddenly, and what it'll do is you'll want to go in, and vomiting is also a part of it. Pain radiating to the back, abdominal swelling, excessive gas, upper abdominal pain, described as a burning or a stabbing feeling, fever, hypertension, muscle aches, and an abnormal fatty stool. And what occurs with pancreatitis is that eating actually makes it worse. So that's one of the ways for you to help discern what you're dealing with. The problem is that until pancreatitis becomes acute, it can actually go undiagnosed for years. So the diet is very important. Getting your blood work, managing your triglycerides, that digestive aspect, very, very important. Excuse me, one of the things that Edgar Cayce suggested to be able to deal with this part of the digestive system is to do a day of fasting a month. So that may be something that you want to consider as well. Now, so that's the physical aspect of it. Now, as a medical intuitive, what I do is I really look at the emotions that are associated with these different illnesses. And I found with pancreatitis that I find sadness, grief, hatred, despair, and sorrow. And when I look at the hidden meanings behind pancreatitis, I find that it's a difficulty receiving love from ourselves and then also to others, receiving love from others and expressing love. It's the inability for us to forgive ourselves. There's a sourness or a bitterness about life and a feeling that life has lost its sweetness, the feeling that life is out of control, and there's a frustration around the fact that our plans and our goals are being disrupted by other people, other actions, other emotional distractions. There's a general overall sense of a lack of joy, as if they've lost touch with the things in life that really has meaning and purpose and enjoyment. For them, I find that that is that personal satisfaction. And it's as if they're emotionally detached from life itself, and they're just going through the motions. The primary fear that I find with pancreatitis is a fear of abandonment. And I find behavior that's reflective of worry, guilt, and anxiety. The chakras that are involved in pancreatitis are the second and fourth chakra. Also the third. The second chakra, as I mentioned, human emotion chakra. Third chakra is our personal power and self-confidence chakra, and our fourth chakra is what connects us with ourself. It is the heart of our very, very being. So when I go in, and that kind of gives you kind of a holistic perspective, a little bit of an energy tweak that's going on. So really we've started the process of saying, let's look at this and let's look at it from a holistic perspective. All right. So what I'd like to do is I would like to take Matt from Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Good. How can I help you?
The problem that I want to discuss is a lot of doctors just give people antacids, but a lot of people online say that there's different problems for stomach problems. Like you could have spinal problems, you could have like bacteria in your stomach, you could have hernias.
Correct.
And ulcers. And the problem is that the medication that they give you, a lot of people say it just like keeps you from having symptoms, but it doesn't actually heal it.
Correct. So what it with the stomach itself, when we experience like GERD, acid reflux, and we have H. pylori in the stomach itself, which is the bacteria that you're referring to, and when we have compression on the cranial nerve number 10, the vagus nerve, that it impacts the stomach and the upper digestive system. So what we do is, or we have heartburn, or we have indigestion, what we do is the norm is to prescribe an antacid to be able to manage, the perception is to manage an excessive amount of acid in the stomach. The reality of it is in those cases, there's a lack of hydrochloric acid, or a reduced amount, I should say, of hydrochloric acid in the stomach. So when we do an acid reducer, what we're really doing is we're reducing the hydrochloric acid in the stomach even more. Now, in some people's cases, that suppression of that hydrochloric acid can be positive, because what it does is it doesn't cause the stomach to eat on itself, but it actually stimulates the liver, the gallbladder, and even some of the digestive enzymes tied to the pancreas. It stimulates it in order to be able to add the proper amount of hydrochloric acid we need. So there's, you know, it kind of depends on the situation, but the overall thing that I found when I'm working with either gastrointestinal doctors or holistic practitioners, one of the very, very best things we can do is that if we have those digestive issues, we can look at taking something called HCl. Hydrochloric acid basically is what it is. It's got a long technical name. And then also betaine and pepsin. And what that can do is help the stomach. So the one size fits all, oh, well, you've got these problems, we need to take care of it. That doesn't take care of it from antacids. With H. pylori, the best thing that we can do with the bacteria of H. pylori, medication is certainly something that's encouraged. Once it's finally diagnosed, it tends to be a little difficult to diagnose. One of the things that we can basically do is starve it. And what that means is go on a very, very benign, bland diet, free of complex carbohydrates, eliminate the sugar, eliminate starches, eliminate grain, and I'm in this particular case all grain. The H. pylori diet is very, very strict in what can be done, but it takes care of the job where someone doesn't have to have it deal with it from a medication standpoint. So there are some other things that we can do physically through diet, through nutrition, that can help in that digestive part. Also, viruses can get in, not only just the bacteria, like we were talking with H. pylori, but viruses can also get into the stomach and can wreak havoc with the digestive system. So a lot of different things. Do you have one in particular, hon, that you're concerned about or interested in?
No, not really. I was just wondering what could be causing me to have the problems. And have you heard anything about Matula herbal formula?
I have. I don't really know a lot about it, but I have. What I have heard from different people that I've talked to in my readings is that the primary thing that it is that it's alkaline. And when we have any stomach issues, the best thing we can do is alkalize the body. H. pylori bacteria cannot sustain itself and thrive in an alkaline situation. Edgar Cayce, again, kind of the mentor of the work that I do, said alkalize. And I have heard that that particular remedy process is alkalizing. So I've heard people say they have good results with it. Is it something you're considering?
Yeah, it's something I'm considering.
Okay. If it's possible, I don't know with where you live. Do you have any health food stores? Do you have anything like a Whole Foods or any kind of good health food stores in your area, hon?
Well, we do, but like...
Tell them you found it already.
The main place we found it was online.
Okay. Well, the reason I was going to suggest going to some place like a Whole Foods or a health food store is see if they have something that has the herbs. So like you could go online and see what the herbs are in their particular remedy. And then what you could do is you could go and maybe you could find something that's comparable. And what I'm going to suggest, hon, is if you decide to do that, is that you put it in your hand and hold it for 2 or 3 minutes. If your hand starts to feel weak, then it's not going to work for you. If your hand works strong, it'll work for you. It's a form of muscle testing. The other thing that you can do is if you do order it, then I would encourage you to muscle test it to be sure that the components within it are not going to be at odds with you. Sometimes that happens, even though it's a wonderful remedy, and I would like to be sure that you really have what you're looking for to be able to take care of the stomach. Another thing you can do is hold it in your hand and hold your thumb and your index finger, the first finger closest to the thumb, hold it together and see what the tension is. Does it want to pull apart? Does it want to stay together? But I find that if you put it in your pocket, put it in your hand, it's going to let you know whether it'll work for you.
Okay. You wouldn't happen to be able to tell if I have any abnormalities.
So I'm going to have to ask you to be very specific for me. Are you talking specifically in the stomach?
The stomach.
Okay.
Like hernia or something?
Yes, you do.
Could that be caused by, like, H. pylori and other bacteria?
Yes, it can.
Okay. How severe could it be?
What you're dealing with is not severe at this point in time. What you can do is do some research on what you can do for an ulcer. We have to really cool it down. It's a hot spot. That's how I see it. Cool it down. Look at the foods that you're eating. Start eating alkalizing foods. You might want to do a little bit of research on what you can do to cool it down. I know that aloe water is very healthy helps cool it down. Right now, it's not serious, meaning that it's not bleeding. It's just a raw spot in the stomach, and I can tell you exactly where it is. If I get into your body with you, my love, it is in the right lower, it's like a balloon. So we have like the bulb on the right side, and then it starts to taper off in the stomach in its design. So where the esophagus comes into the stomach, go to the right side in the upper part, drop down to that lower part on your stomach, just kind of if you were to poke right underneath, not quite at the sternum in the center, but go a little bit to the right, down at the bottom, that's where you've got the hot spot.
So it'd be to my left.
I'm in your body. It'll be to your right. I'm actually in your body with you.
So, like, right by my belly button, a little bit above it?
A little bit above your belly button. Uh-huh. That's where it is.
That's where you have pain.
Yeah, that's where I have pain at.
Yeah, that's where it is, sweetie. And so just think of it as a hot spot. And then in that hot spot, what we want to do is we want to cool it down. And one of the things is that in this particular case, sometimes an acid reducer will help, even though we don't want to reduce the acid too much. So, again, do a little bit of research with it, sweetie, and see what you can find. And if you decide to get that remedy, then do some muscle testing beforehand. I don't know why I've got the caution that's coming up in the field. It seems like your body just doesn't want to kind of openly embrace some different supplements, and that's what I'm picking up.
Yeah. And
oh, yeah, go ahead. One more quick thing, and then I've got to go to a commercial break, my love. Yes.
People who go and look in your stomach, can they do anything actually for it besides just tell you that you have it?
No. Answering your question, no. They will go in and they will look at it. They will validate it. They will look at the extent of the damage in the stomach itself. They will look to see if you've had them before. My sense is that you had one probably about 4 years ago, a little tiny one. And then what they'll do is they'll use that information for a treatment plan using allopathic medicine prescriptions. That's what will be done.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. All right. Well, please stay tuned. I'm going to come right back. We just need to do a quick commercial break. I'll talk a little bit more about pancreatitis. And my callers, stay on the line.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topics of today's show is the hidden meaning behind pancreatitis. It's actually a suggestion from a listener from New Jersey. If you've got a suggestion for me, go to my website, www.reitberger.com. Submit the suggestion. If it's something that I haven't done, I'll put it on the list. I love doing the research, looking at it holistically, meaning how I look at it as a medical intuitive and bringing all aspects of what could possibly contribute to an illness such as pancreatitis. Also, what I want to do is I've got callers, so I'm going to want to jump right back in for the callers, but I wanted to let you know that I've actually just posted the download from my Unveiling the Soul webinar that I did in January. It's available for purchase now on my website at www.reitberger.com. And in the 60-minute webinar, what I do is I talk about the soul from a variety of perspectives. And when we try to intellectualize the soul and define it intellectually, it's very, very difficult, because while it's tangible in the physical body, it isn't tangible in a way that we can actually touch it. And we can actually mean, I'm going to go touch my soul. That's more of a metaphor, because the soul is more of a quality. It's a state of being rather than something that is physical, even though the soul is in every single cell in our body. So in the 60-minute webinar, I talk about what the soul is and isn't, the anatomy of it, also how it expresses itself, the different stages of the process of the soul and its evolutionary process. I have a lot of people say to me, oh my gosh, why is this taking me so long, Carol, to work through this? Well, the soul, it has a lot of processes. It has cycles, it has stages, it has steps, and each one of those has to be done in order for the evolution to take place. And then also I touch briefly on soul fragmentation, and how past life regression and soul retrievals are excellent tools for dealing with that, and then also suggestions on how to care for the soul. So if you'd like to know more information about the download, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the slide on Unveiling the Soul. Then what you can do is you can actually listen to a brief excerpt from the webinar itself and then decide if it's something that you're interested in. You can purchase it, and there's also a workbook that goes with it so you can follow along. So let's jump in. I want to finish up about pancreatitis a little bit and talk to my callers. So while pancreatitis really can't be reversed, meaning that once it starts the process, that it can't, it's going to go through a natural process. Once pancreatitis starts, it's going to go through a process in order for it to heal itself. Once you've experienced pancreatitis, you can't go back and reverse what happened. But what you can do is you can learn to eliminate what triggered it. And then you can also look to minimize and prevent the flare-ups that's associated with it. So it isn't when once you have it and you have the inflammation, it isn't that the damage is going to be for the rest of your life where it's going to continue to reoccur, because if you make the changes, it won't. But what it says is any damage that was done in that acute pancreatitis is going to be there. So what it's important for us to build up the strength and the vitality and to support the pancreas in the job that it does. So what can you do to be able to really manage the pancreas and be able to manage the flare-ups of pancreatitis? You eat a low-fat diet. You don't abuse alcohol. If you have gallstones, I encourage you to talk to your doctor and see what size they are, the impact they're having on the physical body, and see if it's something that the doctor thinks that they need to be removed, because there's a direct connection, not only energetically, but in the physiology, meaning the function of the body, between the gallbladder and the pancreas. So if you have gallstones, even though you may not want to get rid of them, or you may not want to have your gallbladder out, it is something to really talk to the doctor about to see how much it increases the susceptibility to pancreatitis. Also, if your triglycerides are high, that's a first and foremost indicator to change your diet so it doesn't overload the liver. So when we're looking at pancreatitis, we've got the liver, the gallbladder, and the pancreas that are working together in order to make all of the digestive system work the way that it needs to, the pancreas to be able to secrete the proper amount of insulin and also those digestive enzymes. What you would also like to do is stress tends to be a trigger for triglycerides. It can also change the chemistry of the body for gallstones. It also changes the chemistry of the body and the liver itself. So what you can do is you can find some stress management techniques that work well for you. Meditation, yoga, those are two wonderful ones. Guided imagery, those are very, very good for you. Hypnotherapy, those are some of the ones that work very well. Of course, I can hear my psychotherapist. Psychotherapy works very well for as well, acupuncture. But things that you can do to manage stress. Add supplements such as magnesium and calcium. What you want to do is you want to add prophylactic enzymes. This helps reduce the inflammation of the pancreas. Vitamin B complex also helps reduce the effects of stress. Eat smaller meals more frequently to help stabilize the blood sugar, and do something every day that is important to you and that you enjoy that gives you that personal warm fuzzy and personal satisfaction that comes along with the sweetness of life. So there's a few of the things that you can do. All right, let me jump right in and take a couple more calls. Hi, May, New Mexico. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
It's in regards to my daughter.
Okay.
She is having a pain in her hip, and her legs hurt. She says it feels like it's deep in the bones. They ache. And then in her hands. And sometimes it's up halfway up her forearm, just ache.
Mm-hmm.
And no medical can't give her an answer.
Okay. Do you have rheumatoid arthritis in your family anywhere?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I'm picking up, it's arthritis. And I'm picking up that it, well, I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm picking up because what I'm finding is with the bone, the pain in the bone, and I can pick up in the joints themselves. And when I'm talking about the joints, I'm talking about the bone structure that has a lot of density of bone. I can actually pick up inflammation and flare-up of an arthritis in her, sweetie. And so did the doctors do any kind of testing of the immune system? Did they look for the RA factor at all?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So I would be remiss if I didn't do this. I would encourage her to see an immunologist and to have them run some blood work on her. We want to find out why she's having this inflammation that she's having in her body that is causing her immune system to basically start to attack the joints themselves. And I think that's a great place to start. And
you know, Carol, can I interrupt?
Yes, absolutely.
She has been diagnosed with Epstein-Barr and fibromyalgia.
Okay, perfect. So that may be... So excuse me for the quietness here, honey. I'm actually...
Yes.
She's so open, and thank you for being the surrogate. So with Epstein-Barr, absolutely, I can pick that up. That will, the virus will become, she'll have flare-ups. What that's doing is it's causing toxin buildup in the muscles. It's causing fibromyalgia and inflammation of the nerves itself. But for some reason, sweet, it just feels like the inflammatory reaction is now attacking her joints as well. I don't know if it's the muscles that aren't moving as freely, causing those joints to move. But I would, because she's been diagnosed with that, if she's open to it, I would have her go to a rheumatologist. I mean, she can go to a rheumatologist or an immunologist. They're kind of one and the same. They call themselves sometimes different depending on their area of expertise. But if she had some blood work done and we looked at her immune system and we looked at the way that it's responding in her body, we're going to find out what's going on in these bones. Because it is in the bone. She's absolutely right. The deep pain that she has is not the muscle that fibromyalgia. It's not the nerves of fibromyalgia. It's something that's going on in the bone itself. And if we can jump on it, knowing her history, and find a way to quell that inflammation, then I think she's going to turn around very, very quickly, and there's not a lot of damage that's been done, and we can jump on it and get it before it goes anywhere. I do need to tell you that the most preferred prescription that they're going to suggest for her is prednisone, and that has some long-term impact. It doesn't have as much impact on a short-term. So you, Mom, I can feel you in this thing. You might want to look at prednisone. You might want to do some research before you share some of this so you feel like you're equipped to be able to really be in alignment with what you need to know to be able to help guide her.
She will be very opposed to taking prednisone. Is there a natural alternative?
Yes, what you can do is if we could find out what it is, then we have half of the battle. So let's see, New Mexico. I'm not familiar with anybody in New Mexico. What you can do is one of the best places to start is a nutritionist. And then a naturopath, an integrative medicine doctor. So what you might want to do is just Google integrative medicine doctors in New Mexico and see if you can come up with some. And they'll be able to really work with you. My first instinct with her is if we could find an integrative medicine doctor who has an MD medical background, they will understand what we're dealing with, what she's dealing with, and then can use alternative therapies to be able to help her in minimizing it. The most important thing we want to do is stop the inflammation. That's the net of it. So those are some ways for her to go.
Okay.
And one of the things is, again, the blood work will be able to tell it. And I don't know, excuse me, I don't mean to seem pushy about this.
No.
But, hon,
okay.
if she's opposed to prednisone And I'm not anti-medicine, so I'm not, and I'm not really trying to push it. But right now, her body needs an intervention.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, we don't want it to become a crisis.
Absolutely. And we don't want it to become a chronic pattern.
No.
And so, as you're exploring everything, if it happens to be that there's a medication that could go in that maybe is done for just a short period of time, a couple weeks or something like that, that can give her body that intervention, then I would be remiss if I didn't offer to you to explore that as well.
Right. Okay.
It's always honoring where someone is, but sometimes the body just needs that extra boost to be able to have this kind of jump on it, stop the process, retrain everything so it doesn't become a chronic situation.
Yes,
I mean, she's
exactly.
Just she's got so much thing. And the other thing I'm picking up, honey, is that one of her fears is not being able to move. I mean, she loves her freedom, her mobility, and that's the thing that's I can pick up that she's afraid of right now. She's going to lose that. So whatever we can do to stop the process, to manage the process, to intervene, those are the things that would be very, very helpful.
Right. Right.
So.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your help, Carol.
You are most welcome, and lots of information. You can listen to this again in my archives in a couple of days. Just go to my website, www.ritberger.com.
Yes.
Show archives, and you'll be able to listen to this again.
Okay, and I can let her listen also.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, she's very, very open. She just, the minute I touched you, she just, boom, opened right up to me. So that was absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
So, well, thank you, my love. It is something that can be stopped. It can be managed. And I believe that if we get on it the way that it can work well for her, then we don't have to have a reoccurrence or ultimately any breakdown in the bone itself.
Right, because we don't want that. Absolutely.
No, we don't. No, we don't. And it's enough at the beginning stage that we can jump on it like a dog on a bone and make it happen.
Right.
All right. Thank you,
all
my
right.
love. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Carol. Appreciate it.
You are most welcome. Okay, I have just a few more minutes. So, Pat, come on, Connecticut. How are you, honey?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, good. To be quick about this, psychologically, to describe myself is how you describe the person with pancreatitis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing really poorly, and I've got incredible rage. I don't know if it's the EMDR working. I've really only just started that.
Mm-hmm.
My finances are just so bleak that I don't even know. You know, how I'll survive, and I have a feeling that maybe that's it.
Yes.
And if nothing else, can you just tell me that someday I'll be with a partner and survive this? Financially, it's just been so, so tough.
Absolutely, it is. Well, and part of the thing, honey, with the financial part of it is that, you know, it's kind of I'm going to use a metaphor. It's like a pilot who is in a very, very dense fog. You can't tell the up from the down or the right from the left. And
yes.
That's where you are. But the thing is that you're in the fog. Before, when we've talked and stuff, is that you just were afraid to go into it. Now you're going into it. The EMDR and the rage that you're feeling, EMDR is a wonderful, as you and I have talked, a wonderful tool to be able to give you a safe way to contain what you're experiencing so you can deal with it. The rage itself is something that is very, very strong in you and has been there very, very early on in your life. And it's coming to the surface. That's good news.
Okay. It is
very positive because it's not inside of you. But it's important to have a constructive way to be able to contain that rage when it comes forward where it isn't crazy making to you because that rage is not you. You are not a raging person. So here you have something inside that's kind of like volatile that's coming up and you're wanting to spew it out. And the metaphor of that is it's not yours, but we have to have the constructive tools to be able to do that. And that the EMDR can give you that. The one thing, sweetie, is that it feels important. I've only got a minute or so for you, but I want to share this. That's okay, hon. It's important that we connected. Pat, every day wake up and look at what you need that day to survive. And every day be grateful for what you have to survive. And every day, put one thing in there that you want to have a little more of the next day. And that could be more food in the cupboard. It could be less worry. It could be a dollar, $10, $100 more. And you can start building your financial base. Your rage is around the fact that you grew up in an environment where you had no voice, you weren't appreciated. So what you're doing is you're connecting with yourself, but you've got to help, excuse me for saying it that way, I rarely will ever do that, you've got to. But in this particular case, honey, you're the only one that can do this, is to start building that financial picture. But don't go out and do wishful thinking where you want, you know, $1,000 more a month, because that's unrealistic. You're setting yourself up for failure, quite honestly. So $10 more tomorrow, and then look at it that way. Little tiny baby steps. That's one of the things that the person that you're working with the EMDR, is telling you. This is a little baby step process. But as you take the little baby steps, you're taking big steps, and you're not even consciously aware of it, and things will turn around.
Okay.
This is about, this is what I started out with the show this morning, sweet. This is about us learning to love ourselves while loving others.
Yep.
And if we don't know what that looks like, or how we do it, or how we even give ourselves away to others, and we experience the compromise, it can be extremely, extremely destructive to us.
Can you see if my car is going to survive?
The ante just a little bit on the money part of it, and then see where, you know, where you can go with it. It will survive, but it's kind of on its last legs.
Yeah.
So it needs some help with it. Find somebody that can help you. My love, I am so sorry.
Thank
I wanted so much to connect heart to heart with you.
Thank
you for calling me.
I love
you
so much.
That's so wonderful. I love you so much, too. All of you, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.
Light love. Bye-bye.